I'm going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I know we're going through the books of the Bible, but I just feel that this morning this is where the Lord would have me to speak from. The Lord has encouraged me this week in this verse, and I pray the Lord will encourage you. And folks, we need encouragement. We're living in a world that is so ready to put us down and so ready to berate us, but we thank the Lord. He encourages his people. And I pray this morning, if you're of a heavy heart, that even through the word of God, through the words of our Savior, the Lord will encourage you. 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." To get the context, let's go to verse number 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've read thy word, we've read thy truth today. We pray, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will apply as he sees fit. I ask you, Lord, you'll minister to each individual. Lord, minister fresh to my soul today. Oh, Lord, we need thee. Lord, we dare not try and preach without the help of God. Be a hindrance and stumbling block. But we ask you, Lord, to empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy Spirit. Make me an instrument in thy hand, I pray. Lord, use me today. And Lord, guide my lips and give me help to preach with the authority of heaven. I ask you, Lord, that the word of God will impact hearts today. We don't desire to leave the same way we come in. We desire to leave closer to thee. Lord, speak, we pray, with a voice that wakes the dead. Hide me behind the cross. Oh, Lord, let no one remember me. But, oh, Lord, I pray that people leave this morning with the voice of the Lord in their ear and their heart. Lord, come and minister to us, we pray. We look to thee for the blessing. We need thee. Every hour we need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In verses 1 to 4 of 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders of the church are spoken to. There are three responsibilities that are given there. The first one is to feed the flock, and that literally means be a shepherd to the flock, be a pastor to the flock. And what does the shepherd do? Well, we can go to Psalm 23. We know what the shepherd does. He leads the flock. He provides for the flock. He nourishes them, and we can do that spiritually through the word of God. To be faithful, the word has to be the basis upon which we do any work. Then the second thing is we are to take oversight of the flock. And that word, take oversight, it means to look diligently and to oversee. To be aware of problems in the church and to address them. Not to ignore and not to brush off. And the third thing, therefore, is to be ensamples onto the flock. And that means living before the church in a good manner and a good pattern, literally following the Lord and thus being a good example. Now, I'm sure I speak for the other elders in this congregation that as we read those three things, those three God-given requirements, those three God-given responsibilities for which we will stand before God and give an account, that brings a fearfulness to our hearts. We feel a sense of inadequacy. An inability to be able to do these things. Our only hope is, who is sufficient for these things? Our sufficiency is of the Lord. And the Lord does give help in order to do this. But the first thing mentioned here, in these final thoughts and in this closing passage, is that the elders must faithfully fulfill their responsibility. But there's also a further responsibility. It says in verse number 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And you might be sitting here thinking, yes, that's right, the elders should be doing that, and that is correct, they should be. But what does it say of those who are not elders? And the thought is here, younger in the faith, less experienced in the faith. It says that you are to submit yourselves unto the elder. The word elder means presbyter. And the only way that that can be done biblically is whenever you place yourself in such a position, under church government as a member. That's exactly what that is speaking about. And if you're saved by the grace of God, and you're walking in obedience to God, there is a responsibility in God's word upon you to put yourself under membership of a local New Testament gospel preaching congregation. And let's be honest, the reason some people don't want to do that is because they don't want to be accountable or under authority. And if that's your problem, and that's what's keeping you back from coming into full membership of a congregation, then there's a spiritual issue that needs to be addressed in your heart. This is God's word. It says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So we've spoken about the elders. We've spoken about those who maybe not saved as long or in that position of eldership. But then notice there's something else here. In verse number 5, it says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. And what has been spoken of here in this verse is humility in attitude and humility in conduct. I'm going to quote Matthew Henry here on this verse. He says, humility preserves peace and order in all Christian churches and societies. Pride disturbs them. Where God gives grace to be humble, he gives wisdom, faith, and holiness to be humble. And to be humble and subject to our reconciled God will bring greater comfort to the soul than the gratification of pride and ambition. And if you want to have a satisfied heart, then you humble yourself before God. God giveth grace to the humble. We need to be humble in our attitude. We need to be humble in our conduct. Otherwise, you will be a problem in the work of Jesus Christ, and I will be a problem in the work of Jesus Christ. Verse number 6 tells us how to be humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Surrender all. Leave it in God's hands. Give him every part of your life. But do you notice that? Verse does not end with a full stop. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That is not a full stop. Verse number 7 is not a new sentence. This is all one thought. Part of your humbling yourself before God, part of walking in humility, part of taking away pride and acknowledging that you are not sufficient in and of yourself to live the Christian life, is casting all your care upon him. And refusal to cast care upon the Lord is not just going to be a burden to you. It's disobedience to God. And therefore, this morning, I want us to speak about this, dealing with cares in your life in the proper way. Three simple thoughts in this verse. Number one, there is the sad reality. We all have cares in our life. It doesn't matter what home I visit. It doesn't matter what individual I speak to. We have cares in our life. I remember years ago listening as a teenager to that song, Tears Will Never Stay in the Streets of That City, written by Dottie Rambo. And I remember one of the verses in it says, I've never looked into eyes without pain. Never met one man without sorrow. Never looked into eyes without pain. And I remember clearly where I was when I heard that, and I thought, well, that's a bit of an exaggeration. A little artistic license there. Surely, there's plenty of people living around, and from what I could see, there were people living with a smile on their face, and they had no pain in their life, no pain in their heart, no problems. But I tell you, coming to where I am in my life now, I realize those words are true. I've never met anyone without sorrow. I've never looked into eyes without pain. Because the reality of life is hard. And the cares of life are great and can burden us. The word cares has the idea of distraction. And, you know, why are we're saved to live our lives, to walk with God, to enjoy that fellowship with God, but there are cares and things that come into our life that disturb that and distract us from enjoying that walk with God. Something that affects you. You know what it's like if you have to carry, literally, a heavy burden, something that's heavy, it affects you. It slows you down. It makes you weary. It hurts your muscles. It causes your balance to be affected until you leave it down. And that's exactly what is being spoken of here. The things in your life that affect you personally. Those things that when you think about them and they come into your mind, they distract you from enjoying life and at times distract you from going on in life. And those things and cares can come from many angles. They can be personal cares. They can be family cares. Cares for the present day. Cares for the future day. About yourself, where you're going in life, for others, for the church that you're in. And these cares can come upon us and they can weigh us greatly down. The word care also comes from a word which means to part or to disunite or to divide. And the thought here is that this would teach us that the worry and the burden of carrying cares can cause disunity within ourselves. And trying to manage your own cares results in a disturbed peace. We have peace sometimes, at other times we don't. I don't understand what or why or how long this is happening or how long this will last or when will this trial be over. And that's a disturbed peace when we continually think about it. A discouraging outlook. I have no control over this. How can I expect anything better in the future? And Matthew Henry says that these cares are burdensome. They torture and distract the mind. They make us unfit for duties and they hinder our delight in the service of God. Notice the word there, a small word but an important word, casting all your care. That's personal care. And personal cares are not easy burdens to have because, you see, personal burdens are often misunderstood by others. We're not always able to empathize with people who are going through things in life. We can share them, but people just might not understand. I might just brush over it. They've not been there. Sometimes you can feel as if no one else has any cares in life. Put a smile on their face, come to God's house. Put the perfect pictures on Facebook or social media to show a charmed life and carefree, idealistic life. And that can be a lonely place when you're looking around, everybody's smiling, and you see the pictures, and you see people happy and content, and you feel as if you're the only one that has any care in the world, and it's a personal thing. Personal care is not something you can walk away from. Remember when I was studying the book of Philippians, and Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote in his introduction to the book of Philippians, he said that there are times in our life we're going to be like a prison house. Circumstances that come to us, we have to face them. We're locked in the prison house until they're dealt with. We can't run away from them, whether that's a physical illness or whether it's a circumstance in life that we cannot get away from. But that's a personal care. That's a big weight. That's a big worry. That's a big burden. And I know that some, if not all, can relate right now this morning. Yep, there's cares in my life. And then personal cares can also bring a great hurt when they're belittled by others. Sometimes people pour their heart out and someone says, well, sure, it'll work out in the end. You've little to be worried about if you need other people's problems. Hallelujah, God's in control. People say things so flippantly. It breaks the heart of the one who has just shared the care of their heart. That's the sad reality. We all face cares. The second thought here is the scriptural reaction. The scriptural reaction. Casting all your care upon Him. When we think about and are confronted with the things that bring us a great concern and disturb our peace and discourage our outlook, we have to make a decision what we're going to do with those things. And it's often under a weight of care we start to question things. And we start to look at things not objectively, but look at things through very discouraging thoughts. And sometimes as God's people, we can be more taken up and more giving our time over to worrying and bearing the weight than doing what God instructs us to do. And here's what he instructs us to do: to cast our cares upon him. The word cast, it means to throw upon. It's made up of two words. It means, first of all, to fling or to deposit, as if you're carrying a heavy load, to deposit it and walk away from it. It also is the thought of direction. And that casting, direction specifically towards a person, and of course it says upon him, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the great burden bearer. So what does this mean? This is a very practical message this morning. What does this mean for you who have cares in your life? What does it mean for you who are going to face cares this week? What does it mean for you who are so discouraged you don't know if you can go on with the cares that you have in your life as a child of God? First thing is this: acknowledging that you have got cares that are weighing you down. And folks, that's the first thing we need to do if you're going to know a great peace even in the midst of great cares. You need to acknowledge you have cares to yourself and, of course, to the Lord. I want you to listen carefully here. Acknowledging that you're under pressure, or acknowledging that you're struggling or feeling weary, friend, that's not a weakness. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And you know there are many Christians, and they pretend before others, but sadly they try and pretend before God. And while they rightly thank the Lord for what blessings they have and the joys in their life, they gloss over the difficult parts. Some do it with sin, you know. Some Christians don't acknowledge sin in their lives, as if God doesn't see, but then some do it with cares, as if God doesn't know. The first thing you need to do is acknowledge before the Lord, "Lord, I'm struggling. I'm under pressure. Lord, I'm weary. Lord, I feel as if I'm not going to make it." And then you take that care to the Lord and you leave it at his feet in prayer. Folks, be honest with God about your struggles. And we hear about people letting it out. Sometimes we let it out in the wrong way. Tell God all about it. Folks, if you're angry about something, tell the Lord about it. If you're disappointed with something, tell the Lord about it. If you're hurt and broken, tell the Lord about it. And I have to say this morning, your casting of your care does not mean you'll never face it again. That care you have could be a physical ailment. That doesn't mean you'll never face that physical ailment again, but it does mean this: that the Lord will sustain you. Your care may be great temptation, and that does not mean temptation will not attack again. It may be your circumstances. It doesn't mean your circumstances will necessarily change, but it does mean that the Lord will minister to you, and the Lord will sustain you. And when you have cast the weight of your heart upon the Lord, he is the one that will sustain you and take you through. There are God's people in this house today, and they will put their hand up and they'll testify, "The only reason I'm sitting here today is because the Lord sustained me. I was almost gone. Almost threw in the towel. Almost gave up, came to the point where life wasn't worth living anymore. But you know what? They cast their burden on the Lord. And thank God the Lord did sustain them." Friend, it wasn't easy. It wasn't a moment like that. But they took their time and they cast their burden upon the Lord. And you notice, again, never overlook the little words in Scripture. It says, casting all your care. All of it. Sometimes, you know, we think, "Oh, well, God's only interested in the really major things. Or that's too big to bring to God. Or that's too insignificant to bring to God." No. All your care. All of it. Do you see a heart within your chest or that's faltering, broken, prone to wander? Take it to the Lord. Do you fear for the loved ones in your life? Walking in a destructive path, take it to the Lord. Do you worry about the future? Take it to the Lord. Your physical need, take it to the Lord. Problem at work, at home, take it to the Lord. Bible commentator Barnes said, the meaning here is that we are to commit our whole cause to Him. If we suffer heavy trials, if we lose our friends, our health, or property, if we have some arduous and responsible duties to perform, if we feel that we have no strength and we're in danger of being crushed by what is laid upon us, we may go and cast all upon the Lord. And that means we may look to Him for grace and strength and feel assured that He will enable us to sustain all that is laid upon us. And folks, I know we say, and we can say it so easily, God never gives us more than we can bear. But there are times we feel as if we can't bear it. This is a scriptural reaction. Going to the Lord and leaving it with Him. We've thought about the sad reality. We've thought about the scriptural reaction. And finally, we look at the sympathizing Redeemer. He careth for you. He careth for you. In this verse, the word care is used in two different ways. It's not the same word at all in the original. The first care speaks about that which divides and distracts. The careth for you of the Lord. Well, that is speaking about the caring nature of the Lord, and it's a word which means to be concerned about and to take an interest in. And friend, the Lord's concerned about you. And often when we're bowed beneath a weight of care, the devil will say, no one cares. Friend, this morning the Lord's interested in you. You're His child. You've been washed by His blood. Purchased by God. And He cares for you. Do you know the Lord was accused of not caring by His disciples? Master, carest thou not that we perish? By some of His closest friends, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? And folks, those are the people that were closest to the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth. And because of the circumstances in their life, they looked around and said, Lord, you don't care. It's possible for those close to the Lord to be so overwhelmed by their cares that they imagine the Lord does not care. But notice something that really is beyond our explanation. He careth for you. He careth for you. And I'm going to read one more Bible commentator, and I want you to listen to these words. What are we? What have we done that we should be so worthy of condescension? Remember, poor, despised, afflicted child of God, that you will never be forgotten. Friends on earth, the great, the frivolous, the noble, the rich may forget you. God never will. You will never be entirely neglected. Father, mother, neighbor, friend, those whom you have loved and those to whom you have done good may neglect you, but God never will. You may become poor and they may pass by you. You may lose your office and the flatterers may no longer throng your path. Your beauty may fade. Your admirers may leave you. You may grow old and be infirm and appear to be useless in the world. And no one may seem to care for you. But it is not thus with the Lord whom you serve. When He loves, He always loves. He regards you with favor when you're rich. He does not forget you when you're poor. And He who watched over you with a parent's care in the bloom of youth will not cast you off when you're old and gray-headed. If we are what we should be, We shall never be without a friend as long as there is a God. Consider blind Bartimaeus. The world walked past him. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You know what the Lord proved that day? He cared. You know, because of the realities in your life. In times past, you have called out to the Lord in the hour that you did not feel you could go on. When you felt overwhelmed and God answered prayer for you, and the devil says that, but that was different. That was back then. This is a different issue. It's not applicable now. Folks, Jesus is always the answer. If temptation is getting the victory in your life, Jesus is the answer. If you're cold at heart, if that's the case, Jesus is the answer. If you need direction for the future, Jesus is the answer. If you need to be saved this morning from your sin and from hell, Jesus is the answer. And if you have cares that weigh you down and rob you of peace and distract you from the service of the Lord and enjoying your walk with God, Jesus is still the answer. Cares for you. We know that he cares because of the life of humanity he lived. He experienced every emotion that we've experienced to a greater degree than we ever will. He was hurt, rejected, despised, mocked, spat at, lied about, falsely accused and tried. His body was broken with anguish upon the cross and was under such pressure that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Friend, the Lord can sympathize with his people. He knows what you're going through. He understands. Thank God he cares. And you and I were not saved to live this life alone, and we were not saved to deal with this life alone. No one is built for that. But we are saved so that we can say we have the blessed assurance of Isaiah 43, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Friend, this morning we've read in the context of this verse, we need to humble ourselves. And for you to try and deal with life's problems on your own, not only is it foolish, not only is it going to be destructive in your life, it's pride and it's sin. We need to humble ourselves and we need to go to the Lord. But notice the warning, verse number 8. Because it's possible for somebody to go to the Lord, cast their care and say, right, happy days, everything's good. Be aware, the devil will try to discourage. He'll try and rob you of the peace that you've had by casting your care. The battle's not over at that point. But thank God the victory is won at that moment. My friend, we need to realize that in casting our care, we don't just cast our care and then live recklessly. We cast our care and we walk in the Word. And we keep faithful in the place of prayer. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I believe in this meeting there are people who have cares upon their heart. Friend, this morning the Lord has given me the privilege of saying to you, here's the invitation from heaven. Don't you bear your burden alone. Cast it upon the Lord. And he will sustain you. I'll be honest, I don't know how unsaved people live. I don't know how they live in this world, disappointment of care, worry over family and friends, worry over the future, and no burden bearer. But thank God, child of the God, this morning you've one who does care. And the Lord will bear you.